Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update. If you've missed today's news, don't worry. We've wrapped it all up for you in under 30 minutes. So coming up before 5:30. We know that finding an apprenticeship on the island isn't always easy, and we're going to hear how one young person has been affected. Also tonight, how does the government strike the right balance when it comes to inward migration? We're going to hear the Chief Minister's view. We'll also meet a man taking on a mountainous challenge for a good cause, and it's all aboard for the Isle of Man Transport Festival. We'll bring you some of the sights and sounds you can expect at this year's event, which has already got underway. All that plus the weather, the traffic and the travel, and as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, we'd like to hear from you. 166 177 is the text, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the news headlines with Siobhan. Fastamai.
The Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce says businesses on the island will be able to plan better under new minimum wage reforms. Earlier this month, Tynwald approved a new methodology linking the rate of pay to median earnings, something the Chamber says will only be successful if median benchmark is defined and applied effectively. The Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, says reforms to the island's immigration policy are proof his administration wants to get the balance right. It's after Tynwald approved a phased tightening of visa routes alongside new incentives to attract workers and returning residents.
We need to be extremely careful, and we need to be absolutely on top of ensuring that the cost to the taxpayer is maintained to an absolute minimum, and of course our security remains at the highest possible level.
Of the 20 petitions for redress submitted at this year's Tynwald Day ceremony, only half were in order. The Office of the Clerk of Tynwald says it simply means they go against the guidance for petitioners and doesn't imply that the body agrees or disagrees with the merits of the case. Castletown Commissioners says it will be removing damaged play equipment and deteriorating equipment from the children's play area in Paulson Park. In a statement, the local authority confirmed the current provision is not safe and has ordered new items for the area. And a Fareham resident will be on the island this evening as he takes on the P600 Mountain Peaks. Simon Tull is taking on the challenge, which involves completing 121 summits across the British Isles.
I've heard highly of how welcome the Isle of Man can be, so if anyone does see me on Snaefield this evening, please say hello.
Further afield, a woman and two children have been shot and killed in County Fermanagh. They were attacked at a house in Maguiresbridge this morning. A fourth person, a man, is in a serious condition in hospital. Local MP Sinn Féin's Pat Cullen says it's a close-knit community.
All the young ones go to school together and all the families socialise together, and that's what local small communities do. So I would imagine that everyone is aware of the family, and their thoughts and prayers will be with them as well.
The Police Service of Northern Ireland has started a murder investigation but stressed there's no wider threat to villagers. The head of Essex Police has refused to resign over claims by Nigel Farage officers bust counter demonstrators to a protest outside a migrant hotel in Epping. Fans have been paying their respects at the Black Sabbath mural in Ozzy Osbourne's hometown of Birmingham. He died yesterday, aged 76. And Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham have announced the re-release of their 1973 album, Buckingham Nicks. The Fleetwood Mac bandmates and former lovers have confirmed the first reissue of their only collaborative studio album, ending a week of speculation. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So it's going to stay dry with variable and at times large amounts of cloud this evening. Moderate winds, minimum temperatures overnight will be around 13. Tomorrow, another dry day, bright or sunny spells, light to moderate northwest winds. They'll back the west later in the day. Best temperatures tomorrow will be around 19. Just looking ahead to Friday, some light rain or drizzle around at first. That is going to clear quite quickly, leaving the rest of the day dry with sunny intervals developing, and again, temperatures around 19 Celsius. Sunset this evening, 9:33. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 17 minutes past 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813-977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's 5.5 minutes past five. So a family on the Isle of Man says it's going to have to dip into its savings to get their son an apprenticeship. Now, this comes as complaints grow about the difficulty in getting young people placed with companies over here. Tony Much told us they've tried numerous times to get firms to take on their son.
This is the first time that they're not taking on apprenticeships because they can't afford it because of obviously having no funding. All the little ones, obviously, they only get funding for 1 year. And they don't get the funding up front. So after they've done the first year, the second and the third year, then they don't get any funding. So they have to let the apprenticeships go.
What are you going to do now?
Well, we're going to try and see if we can be a sponsorship for our son. Because we found out by one of our other plumber friends that some companies might take James on if we say we'll sponsor him. So if we pay for him to go to college the 2 days a week and for the block release, and then the company pay, say, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and obviously holidays, and I think that's the only way we're going to get it. We are in a position where we can do that. We're a little bit lucky, but that's only by being frugal and putting money away. So we will have to use our savings to try and get our son a job for the future.
That is a parent there talking to John Moss. Well, we have contacted the Department of Education, Sport and Culture for a response on this. We've also heard this morning from Build-A-Skill in Ramsey, which offers apprentices and national vocational qualifications. You can hear much more about this story on our website, and it's got a big reaction on social media as well. So we will be moving on with this story a little bit more too. Coming up to 7.5 minutes past five, and the Chief Minister says his administration has been really concerned about getting the balance of inward migration right. Now, earlier this month, government set out a detailed programme to reform its immigration policy, outlining a phased tightening of visa routes alongside new incentives to attract workers and returning residents. A report that was done in 2025 in June highlighted the island's growing reliance on inward migration to sustain population growth, maintain public services and meet labour market demands. Alfred Cannon was asked whether he thought the balance was off.
There have been one or two instances that have caused us concern. As a result, we are really tightening up on our immigration processes and applications. And that's why we have just put through a very positive, I think, immigration statement that includes people now paying more, making sure that we've got a healthcare levy, why visa application fees have got to be designed appropriately. And of course, we've raised that absolute minimum wage requirement for immigrants. I think we had to adopt a positive immigration approach because there have been significant vacancies that have been unable to be filled by the local workforce or indeed perhaps workforce from within the common travel area. And that has meant that some sectors, the care sector in particular, has had to go abroad to look for the workers that it needs to fill the vacancies. We need to be extremely careful about this, and we need to be absolutely on top of ensuring, as I said, that we get the right people here on the island, that the cost to the taxpayer is maintained to an absolute minimum, and of course our security remains at the highest possible levels. It's been a necessity for us.
Oh, we need immigration.
We would not have had people to, frankly, staff the care homes or fill some of the key critical positions in the hospital, for example, nor would some of the private sector businesses have met their specific skill sets in terms of technology, for example. We need proper, positive, controlled immigration, and that's the position that we are absolutely working to.
That's the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, coming up to 10 past five. Now, you might remember we reported on this on Update that earlier this month, Tynwald approved a new methodology linking the minimum wage to median earnings. Now, this means a previous commitment to link the lower rate of pay with the living wage has now been abandoned. Government says the new approach will provide greater certainty to both businesses and those earning minimum wage. Minimum wage proposals will be brought to Tynwald for approval in October every year with an implementation date of the following April. Rebecca George is the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce and says the organisation welcomes these reforms, but it still has some concerns.
So we think it's a really positive step. Linking minimum wage to median earnings is a much more structured and consistent way to approach wage policy. It moves us closer to an evidence-based system, which is something that Chamber has supported for some time.
One aspect that you've highlighted, you say using a combined public-private sector figure can distort outcomes. So just to expand on that a bit, what do you mean by distort outcomes?
So right now, the island uses a combined public and private sector figure. But what this has highlighted is that public sector pay is significantly higher, so it skews the benchmark. So if you base policy on that combined number, you risk setting minimum wages at a level that's just not viable for a lot of businesses.
You've mentioned that the policy, you want to ensure that this policy shift results in fair, workable outcomes for businesses and employees alike. You've mentioned there that the trajectory before would have represented something unviable for businesses.
Yeah.
What about those employees that perhaps were looking forward to that extra uplift if it was to go through later this year? How does this work out as a workable outcome for them?
Yeah, and you know, I go back again and say we absolutely support fair pay, but it's got to be sustainable. If you set benchmarks that aren't grounded around economic reality, you're going to risk undermining the very jobs and businesses that people rely on, which ultimately is not good for workers or employers in the long term. So it's a really hard balance to ensure that there's fair pay for workers, but equally that the minimum wage doesn't outstrip the viability of running that very business.
That's CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, Rebecca George, talking to Lewis there. Well, unemployment on the Isle of Man fell last month, but it is higher than it was this time last year. Sian has been taking a look at the monthly labour market report.
Mr Hooper's motion was based on a Treasury consultation carried out in...
Well, that's not Sian. This is...
Figures from Statistics Isle of Man show there were 283 people registered out of work in June, a drop of 13 compared to May. However, the total is 33 up from June 2024 and the highest figure for the month of June since 2022. 64% of those registered unemployed are male, with 36% female. The age group with the highest number of unemployed people is 20 to 29-year-olds, with 78 in that age bracket looking for jobs, with 40 under 20s and 24 over 60s also out of work. 21 individuals are classed as long-term unemployed, having been out of work for 12 months or longer, including five who've been unemployed for 4 years or more. There were also 487 job vacancies registered at the Job Centre in June, which is a small rise compared to the previous month. 60% of those were full-time vacancies, with 15% classed as seasonal, temporary or fixed. Miscellaneous services, catering and entertainment and retail distribution are the sectors with the highest number of unemployed people, while medical and health services, catering and entertainment, and accountancy and legal services have the highest number of job vacancies.
John Cowper reporting. It is 13 and a half minutes past five.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Nothing to report on the police pages so far this evening. If you spot something and are able to let us know, that would be great. Meanwhile, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so there are temporary lights there replacing the main lights. All filter lanes are out of operation. Also temporary lights in Douglas on Woodburn Road. That's for bus stop improvement works. And Finch Road, as we know, closed between St Barnabas Hill and Christian Road for sewer work. In Colby, there are temporary lights on Glen Road for water main works. And on the Ballymoda, there are temporary lights just south of the shoulder road turn. That is for tree works. All looking okay down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman due into Douglas around about 10 past six this morning, this evening, whatever time of day it is, and we'll be heading out again for Heysham at 7:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Now, plans to install a bronze statue of King Ori in St John's have been recommended for refusal. Why? It said it would risk undermining the visual and cultural primacy of the site, as Lewis Foster reports.
The illuminated statue would have stood at just under 3 metres tall and 1.8 metres wide next to Tynwald Hill. It was set to depict King Ori with his sword sheathed and his left arm outstretched, mounted on a plinth inscribed with King Ori's name in Manx Gaelic, English and runes. A plaque was also planned to accompany the installation, detailing his historical significance, drawing from the Chronicles of the Kings of Man and the Isles, the earliest recorded history of the island. The estimated cost of the project was undisclosed, but Manx Radio was told the sculpture would have been privately funded, not with public money. Plans for the project were submitted by the president of Tynwald back in March. But the planning committee's agenda for next week, the 28th of July, reveals they've been recommended for refusal, as, quote, the sculpture's scale, verticality and illumination would disrupt the openness, horizontality and visual coherence of the Tynwald Green landscape. The document also reveals objections were submitted by Manx National Heritage and German parish commissioners. If the plans are officially refused by the planning committee next week, an appeal process can take place.
Lewis Foster reporting there. You can see a photograph of what the statue would look like on the Manx Radio website. I'm going to be honest, I've never heard horizontality as a word before. 16 minutes past five, and the Manx Heritage Transport Festival is back for another year. And this is an opportunity to really show off the unique range that the island boasts, from the steam train to the electric railway to the horse trams. The six-day event got underway yesterday. It runs until Sunday. And as Isle of Man Transport's Andy Cowie has been telling Amy, this year they also get to mark a very special anniversary.
There's the 130th anniversary of Snaefell Mountain Railway coming up. That's a bit later on in the year. The Transport Festival this year is still packed with exciting events, and we've designed it to focus more on the transport enthusiast. And we do get a very large number of keen enthusiasts coming over from the UK and further afield to sample our quite unique blend of railways in such a small place. And it goes down very well indeed. It's having those different railways in such a small space, and you've got the opportunity and the time to go on all sorts of different transport systems in a very small area, and that makes us quite unique. Particularly as the horse trams are one of only two operating horse tram systems in the whole world, so it does give quite a unique flavour to the Isle of Man's offering.
There really is an appeal here on the Isle of Man that does attract, as you say, people from all over. I mean, have you spoken to many people who've come from further afield in the UK?
Not so much this year, yeah, but certainly in the UK we get a wide range of people from all across the UK and Ireland as well. And sometimes we get some visitors from further afield, Europe as well. So I'm looking forward to meeting some new visitors who come over this year to see our unique transport systems. And there's a lot of people out enjoying the railways already, taking pictures and riding on the trains. We had our launch of Trailer 50, which recently refurbished on the MER. It's gone down very well.
And there's all kinds. I mean, I was having a little look through what's on this week, and there's even a little opportunity to have a bit of a drive of one of them, isn't there?
Indeed, yes. We do our taster days on both the MER and the diesel, where you sign up and have a short drive to test out a tram and sit and see how it feels to actually drive one of our special trams. And some of the diesel fleet are also quite unique as well. And we've got the clothesline bus tour, where we take some of our visitors around to look at the old railway lines around Peel and Kirkmichael on the bus to see what was there and the old stations and the like, which goes down very well. I have a number of workshop tours as well, where we take people around our various workshops. And on Friday evening we'll have quite a unique event. We're running all four of our Snaefell tram cars up to the top of the summit, and we picked Friday evening because the weather's supposed to be quite nice. We've got high cloud cover.
That is Isle of Man Transport's Andy Cowie talking to Amy. And I have to say, Amy was getting very excited there, wasn't she, at the prospect of driving a tram. You can find a full list of what's on and how to get involved at manxradio.com. Andy was mentioning Snaefell there. Well, a Farham resident will be climbing Snaefell this evening as he prepares to break a record for the fastest known time that a person has climbed the P600 mountain peaks. Now, this consists of 121 peaks across the British Isles. Simon Tull, who started the challenge in April, is doing it to raise money for mental health charities Minds of Mountains and Every Life Matters. And he was talking to Chanel as he descended Helvellyn Mountain in the Lake District.
I'll be finishing my challenge on Saturday evening with the ascent of in Snowdonia, North Wales. That will be my 121st mountain. So we'll be completing my challenge in 93 days. And the current record for ascending all of these mountains is 313 days. Which is a lot quicker than I ever thought it was going to be. Certainly a mix of emotions at the moment as I'm coming to the end of the challenge. When I first started at the end of April, We started in Ireland with the 25 mountains there. It was very exciting. It was the start of the journey, all fresh and vibrant. When we moved to Scotland, which is where 83 of the mountains are found, that was the real challenge. And certainly there were some very long days, very grueling days. But now as I'm coming to the end of the challenge itself, I'm in familiar territory. It's also sad to be leaving to venture into a new area, which is the Isle of Man, and then on to Wales, where I started my hill walking journey many years ago when I first fell in love with the hobby.
How excited are you to, you know, to start this and to Snæfell? Have you been doing any research? Is it going to be the first time on the island? It
will be my first time visiting the Isle of Man. I've been to places across the British Isles that I've never ventured to before. I've come away with so much inspiration of places I want to go back to. As for the Isle of Man itself, I am looking forward to coming there later today. I'll be getting the first ferry out tomorrow morning to then head down to the Brecon Beacons and finish off the Welsh Mountains in the next few days. So unfortunately, it will only be a fleeting visit. I've heard highly of how welcome the Isle of Man can be. So if anyone does see me on Snæfell this evening, then please say hello.
That is Simon Tull, who will be on Snæfell a little bit later. Picked a perfect evening for it, actually, looking out across Douglas Bay. It looks pretty clear over the mountain at the moment, so we wish him all the very best. Again, more details on our website. Now, the Great Laxey Mines Railway has just celebrated 21 years since its restoration. The mines closed in 1929, but in 2004 it reopened as an attraction to show people its history. Joe Rock is a volunteer there.
Originally it was horse-drawn and it's been built upon by that. Then in 1877 we got our two steam locos and they ran up until about 1930, at which point the mine closed, and then we believe they were scrapped. There's the old wives' tale that they might have snuck off on a boat and disappeared somewhere, but we've never managed to find out if they have or where they were. And again, like I say, in 2004 they completed the work and had two replicas built.
Going into the mines, I mean, when you think back 200 years when this was happening, it must have been an absolute revelation when it first happened, instead of, you know, having the horses and leading them, walking up with the horses to do it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, from what I understand, when the horses were pulling them out, it was one wagon at a time. Once the steam locos came, they were pulling them out six at a time.
Really?
And we've got a train of six replica wagons, just to give people the idea of what they look like. And they at the peak of the mine, and they were believed they had over 200 of them.
But how, when the restoration started again in 2004, I think you said, I mean, there wouldn't be photographs 200 years ago of the original things, was there? I mean, how did you get the sort of blueprints, so to speak, for doing it?
The track bed was a case of they tried to pick up what they believed to be the original, and we can't be totally on the same line because of things that have happened in the intervening 100 years or so, but it's largely on thing. The locomotives are built from pictures. There's no drawings. We've got a few pictures of the original, and you can scale that because you know certain sizes from like newspaper reports. So they built the locos just from pictures.
That is Joe Rock, who's a volunteer at the Laxey Mines Railway. If you haven't been to see the railway, it is a lovely attraction. You can hear much more about it in the Countryside podcast, which you can find at manxradio.com. Now, it might only be the third day of the summer holidays, but for parents and carers, this could be the perfect time to dive into something new, like the Manx language. Adrian Kane is a teacher at the Bun School Gaeilge, and that is a primary school that speaks Manx in St John's. And he's written a book that is packed with useful everyday phrases to help get you started.
Well, it's a book I wrote about a year or so ago now, Cray Rennie Jew, What Did You Do Today? And it's a sort of a resource initially for parents and carers who chosen to send their kids to the Bun School. So there's 40 units, one for each week, and it just builds up a slightly tongue-in-cheek Manx that you can use gradually with the perchin, as we'd say, the children. I think it's useful for anyone who's learning Manx, to be brutally honest, not just parents and carers and the like, yeah.
Do you know, we're sat here in the Bun School playground at the moment, and you can hear the children speaking Manx. And I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? If your kids come here, they become fluent very quickly. And as a parent, if you don't know the basics, you could probably be missing out on some vital communication.
Well, you know, they all speak English fluently. I mean, yeah, it's always difficult to keep up with the kids because they're immersed in it. You know, their access to the language is enormous. So they pick it up very quickly. They can go from English to Manx, Manx to English. Obviously, like anyone who's learning language, they, you know, they understand it first. So the younger ones will mainly speak English, but as they get older, they speak more and more Manx. Really, you can never really keep up with the kids. They're just, because of the immersive setting, their access to it is just enormous, really. But the purpose of this is as much really just for parents to engage with the language, really, and encourage them, persuade them to do that, because I think those parents who do probably will go on to encourage their children to continue using Manx once they've left here, really. But as I said, it's not just for parents. I think that's quite important.
That is Adrian Kane, who has written that handbook. You can find out much more on our website. There's also a link to a longer podcast there. And actually, Adrian Kane and Dewin Christian do a weekly podcast, or not quite weekly maybe, but it's sort of done very regularly, which might also help with your Manx, Rob Pritchard, which I imagine you're probably fluent in, are you?
Not quite.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. You are fluent in sport, though.
Okay, to start with, the Isle of Man men's basketball team will return to action this evening on day three of the Inismon Inter-Island Games. They're due to face the hosts Inismon in Holyhead at 7pm this evening. The Manx side started the day fourth in the men's standings with one win and one defeat so far. Yesterday, the Isle of Man claimed a 71-65 victory over Guernsey, whilst the Isle of Man ladies side earned an impressive 71-33 win over a North Wales team. While the competition as a whole is featuring Inismon, the Isle of Man, Jersey, Guernsey, the Faroe Islands and Falkland Islands, and is running until Friday, the 25th of July. Elsewhere, an Isle of Man Jiu-Jitsu club has eight new British champions after its most successful campaign at the British Championships to date. Summit Grappling Academy managed a total of 23 medals during the 2025 event, held on the 12th and 13th of July at Warwick University in Coventry. Among the eight gold medals was six-year-old Ishmael Khalil, whilst Theodore Sloan, Alan Greenalge, Joe Bosworth and Hanako Henson also took top spots in the junior classes. Elsewhere, Mark Purcell, Sorrel Williams and Rachel Kameem were among the gold standard performances in the adult section. And outside of the gold medals in the junior categories, Esther Patterson, Valerie Topulev, Lucas Hanlon, Koa Haman, Eliza Patterson and Tyler Collins all performed strongly to take silver in their respective events. Also among the top three standings in the juniors were Stanley Myers, Luca Christian and Aidan Dunkley Nation, who took bronze. In the team classifications, the junior performances also gave Summit Grappling Academy third place in the overall junior rankings. And finally, one of the Isle of Man's rallying events is set to make a return for the first time in 3 years. The Chris Kelly Memorial Rally is scheduled to take place on Saturday, the 4th of October, having last ran on Manx shores in 2022. While its organisers, Manx Autosport, says it's planning a compact one-day rally offering 54 stage miles, with competitive action starting at around 9am on the day and finishing at approximately 4:30pm. While the meeting is expected to feature eight closed road special stages, each of them around 7 miles long, and a maximum size field of 60 cars. Well, entries for the rally have now opened again, with 60 spaces available, with priority given to Manx Autosport Championship entrants who enter within the first 7 days.
You are a bit of a speed demon, as we know, Rob. Do you ever have a go at rallying?
I like the prospect of it, but I think there'd be a lot to learn, especially because, of course, if you're not a driver, the pace notes, now that is a mystic art.
Oh, you'd be amazing. You would be great. I mean, you've done all your commentary. You can look at things at speed.
Well, time would tell, I think, but right. That would be something. I think that would be a very difficult thing to master if you've not done it before.
Well, OK. Well, that's my challenge for you. All right. Let's see if somebody can sign you up. That is all from Update this evening. Thank you so much for your company. Coming up next, it is Spotlight with Howard Kane. It's brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. Greatest Hits then with Michelle Kane from 6 at 9. It's Country Roads with Andy Wint. And Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a great one. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.